According to some ancient Tibetan texts, the portal to Shangri-La is hidden in a great waterfall in the Tsangpo Gorge, the world's deepest and most impenetrable canyon.
The whole landscape of the gorges, as it's evoked in these texts, is really a metaphor for the whole journey to enlightenment.
Ian Baker is an explorer and Buddhist scholar. More than 20 years ago, he first set out to find the final five-mile stretch of the Tsangpo Gorge. Its legendary waterfall had been the subject of intense speculation for centuries, in both Tibet and in the West. After the last ill-fated British expedition in 1924, the Royal Geographical Society declared the falls nothing more than a religious myth. But Baker was determined to find it. And after eight separate journeys, he finally reached the 108-foot-high waterfall in 1998. He tells the story in his book, The Heart of the World.
It's amazing terrain. It's gorgeous on the one hand. You have this very, very wet environment, so the vegetation is very dense. You've got everything from orchids to tree palms. Really almost a kind of Paleolithic type of feel to the terrain, at the same time with these mountains soaring above. And then overlaid on top of that are these Tibetan texts dating back to the 8th century and describing it in really in terms of an earthly paradise. So you're traveling kind of through a metaphysical terrain at the same time as you're trying to negotiate this very, very difficult physical terrain. This area has one of the heaviest rainfalls anywhere on the planet because the gorge opens down in towards India and towards the Bay of Bengal. Ultimately, you get these monsoon-laden clouds that follow the gorge up from the south, and then when they hit the ice wall of the Himalayas, drop all of their precipitation. And you have a roaring river, which is very, very steep, more than 50 miles an hour in terms of its descent through the gorge, and huge standing waves, more than 20 feet high in many places, and certainly makes any travel into that region by kayak or by raft very, very forbidding. When I first went to Nepal when I was 19, I went there to study Tibetan painting, and that's when I first heard about this tradition of Babel, of these places where the physical and the spiritual world are said to overlap. And I went there and continued to go back every year over a period of eight different journeys. Probably the most difficult journey of them all was the first one, where we actually tried to make this sort of direct assault, if you will, on this unexplored section of the gorge. And we reached a point really no farther than the Frank Kingdon Ward, the explorer who had reached the same point in 1924. At that point, we'd had almost 14 days of nonstop rain, and we were forced to try to climb out of the gorge because ahead of us was, again, the same sheer cliffs that had confronted Ward. But there were mists and rain. We had no map for that particular area, and we were forced to cross over a spur of this 25,000-foot peak, a snow-covered pass, and ended up in a cirque, a glacial cirque, trying to find our way down through an incredibly difficult terrain, ravines, jungles, eventually hitting a river that we had to spend almost 2 days trying to get a bridge across. We ran out of food. It was a time when you really, really felt that we were on the edge, and that a few more days like that, we would have starved. And we were eventually stumbled upon by two hunters dressed in animal skins. Texts describe this whole region as the body of a tantric goddess, and symbolically the pilgrim travels through the body of this goddess as they journey down the Tsangpo River into the different sort of chakras, or as they're referred to as the energy centers of the goddess, until you emerge at her heart, where this mystical paradise is said to lie. The largest waterfall in the center of three was described as the portal into this innermost realm, into this place where one attains immortality of a sort. The river pours through a narrow 50-foot slot, pouring over a ledge to about 108 feet high, this being the falls of the Tsangpo that had been the grail, you could say, of so many Western explorers from the second decade of the 19th century. It was an incredible sight, and at the same time, this is the portal, this is the doorway into this hidden land. An extraordinary spot. Yeah, and in the Tibetan world, of course, they believe there would be a passageway through the falls, but with the tremendous force of water, there was no way even really to dispel that particular belief. But there was a passageway, a tunnel, leading into the rock wall directly across from the falls on the opposite wall, but no way to reach it. Deeply believe that the journey itself is a kind of a meditation, an opportunity to look at the mind, to look at our responses to the world around us, and to, in a certain sense, reform them. And in so doing, we create our own destination. And that, to me, really is what the whole idea of Shangri-La is about. You know, when James Hilton's novel first appeared in 1933, it was a period not entirely dissimilar to what we're facing in the world now, a period of great political uncertainty, when the whole foundations of Western civilization are being kind of reevaluated. I think that certainly my own journey was really about how, you know, we can spend our lives looking for the paradise on earth, but ultimately it's really up to us to create it in the same way that Shangri-La was something that was created.
Ian Baker's book is called The Heart of the World, A Journey to the Last Secret Place.
Sangye na rong chenpo ta, sim chen ma che shoma.